For example, if the largest check that you write each month is your house payment, then you would write as a header, house payment. And next, on the line beneath the header, write the dollar amount of that house payment. Now, circle this amount, which represents the amount that you are obligated to pay each month, and then on the third line, enter the total outstanding debt for this house payment category. Next, enter the second largest payment in the second column, your third largest payment in the third column, and so on. And across the top of your columnar pad, write the following affirmation. It is my desire to keep my promise regarding all of these financial obligations, and in some cases I will even do twice as much as is required. Each time you receive a bill, get out your columnar pad and adjust, if necessary, the minimum monthly payment that is required. If it stays the same, then write the same figure. The first time you receive a bill, or when it is time to make the payment for the category that is on the far right column of your pad, in other words, the smallest amount you make each month, write the check for exactly twice what is required. And, as you do, write in the new amount of that outstanding balance. This may seem a little strange to you when you first begin to play the game, but even if you do not have enough money to pay everything you owe in all the columns, still double the payment in the far right column, and feel glad that you have kept your new promise to yourself to do your best to pay everything you owe, and to do even twice that amount in some cases. Because you are looking at your finances in a way that is new, your vibration will begin to shift right away. As you feel even the slightest bit of pride for keeping your word, your vibration will shift. As you keep your promise about doubling up on payments, your vibration will shift. And with this shift, even if it is slight, things will begin to change in your financial condition. If you will take the time to really enter everything you owe on the columnar pad, your newly focused attention will begin to positively activate circumstances around the subject of money for you. Instead of feeling discouraged as you find yet another bill in your mailbox, you will feel an eagerness to enter the bill on your columnar pad. And with this shift in attitude and vibrations, things will begin to change in your financial picture. Money that you were not expecting will appear in your experience. Bargains will reveal themselves, so your dollars will go further than you expected. All kinds of unusual financial things will occur, and when they do, be consciously aware that these things are happening in response to your newly focused attention and the resultant shift in your vibration. As extra money appears, you will find yourself eager to apply another payment to the far right column, and soon that debt will be paid, and you can eliminate that column from your pad. Column after column will disappear as your financial gap between what is coming in and what is going out widens. Your sense of financial well-being will improve on the first day you play this game. And if you will take the game seriously, your vibration around money will shift so significantly that you can be debt-free in a short time, if that is your desire. There is nothing wrong with debt, but if your debt feels like a heavy burden, then your vibration around money is one of resistance. When the burden has lifted, when you feel lighter and freer, your resistance has lifted, and you are now in the position to allow the well-being to flow abundantly into your experience. Abraham, speak to us more about money and the economy. As we mentioned in process number 17, it is as easy to create a castle as a button. It is just a matter of whether you're focused on a castle or a button, but it can also be as satisfying to create a button as a castle. And whether it is a castle or a button, if you are using it as your object of attention, it is summoning the life force, and the feeling of the life force is what life is all about. The reason that you are summoning it is inconsequential. So, what about creating a very positive current of financial abundance? What about getting so good at visualizing that the money flows through you easily? What about expending money and giving more people opportunity? What better way could anyone spend money than by putting it back into the economy that gives more people work? The more you spend, the more people benefit, and the more people get in on the game and dovetail with you. Your role is to utilize energy. That is why you exist. You are an energy-flowing being, a focuser, a perceiver. You are a creator, and there is nothing worse in all the universe than to come forth into the environment of great contrast, where desire is easily born, and not allow energy to flow to your desire. That is a true squandering of life. There is no high work or low work. There are just opportunities to focus. You can feel as fulfilled and satisfied in any task as any other, for you are on the leading edge of thought, and source is flowing through you, no matter what your endeavor is. You can be joyful at any endeavor where you decide to allow the energy to flow. Spiritual versus material are not the choices. Everything about this spiritual manifestational experience is spiritual. It is all the end product of spirit. You have nothing to prove. Be the spiritual you and create like a physical fiend. Your financial decline will not elevate the impoverished. Think about what the economy was like in this nation a few hundred years ago. What has changed? Have more resources been trucked in from other planets? Or have there not been more people over more time who just identified more things that they desire, and the non-physical energy, which is endless and infinite, supplied that? We never hear any of you say, "Well, I've been well for so many years that I've decided that I'm going back to be sick for a while to allow some other people to be well." Because you know that whether you are well or not does not have anything to do with others not getting enough wellness. You are not using up the wellness and depriving them of it, and it is the same thing with the abundance. People who have managed to find vibrational harmony with abundance, so that it is flowing to them and through them, are not depriving anyone else of that abundance. You cannot get poor enough to help the impoverished people thrive. It is only in your thriving that you have anything to offer anyone. If you want to be of help to others, be as tapped in, tuned in, and turned on as you can possibly be. Feel appreciation for those who provide examples of well-being. How would you know that prosperity was possible if there was not some evidence of it around you? It is all part of the contrast that helps you sharpen your desire. Money is not the root of happiness, but it is not the root of evil either. Money is the result of how somebody lines up energy. If you do not want money, do not attract it. But we say to you that your criticism of others who have money holds you in a place where things you do want, such as wellness, clarity, well-being, cannot come to you either. If the subject of money makes you uncomfortable when you think about it, it means that there is a strong desire related to it, which means that it really, really, really matters. So finding a way to think about it and feel good is your work. But it is equally effective to think about anything else and feel good and let it in. You do not have to think about money in order to let in money. You just cannot think about lack of money and let in money. Success is about the joy you feel. We love seeing you applauding someone else's success, because when you are genuinely thrilled by it, that means you are on the right track of your own. Many think that success means getting everything they want, and we say that is what dead is, and there is no such thing as that kind of dead. Success is not about getting it done. It is about still dreaming and feeling positive in the unfolding. The standard of success in life is not the money or the stuff. The standard of success is absolutely the amount of joy you feel. You can say things such as, "When I look at successful people, and by that I mean rich people, yes, I mean happy people. Sometimes they are rich and happy. When I'm talking about the successful ones, what I really mean is the really happy people. People who are really happy, who are eager to get on with each day. Almost all of them, without exception, had a pretty rough beginning, which turned them into powerful rebels, initially. Then they found a way to relax into their natural birthright of well-being. Success is about a happy life. And a happy life is just a string of happy moments. But most people do not allow the happy moments because they are so busy trying to get a happy life. Instead of earning abundance, allow your abundance. Your action has nothing to do with your abundance. Your abundance is a response to your vibration. Of course, your belief is part of your vibration, so if you believe that action is part of what brings you abundance, then you have to unravel that. We would like you to release the word earn from your vocabulary and your understanding altogether, and we would like you to replace it with the word allow. You want to allow your well-being. It is not something you need to earn. All you have to do is decide what you would like to experience and then allow it in order to receive it. It is not something you have to struggle or try for. You are all worthy beings, and you are deserving of this well-being. All the resources you will ever want or need are at your fingertips. All you have to do is identify what you want to do with it and then practice the feeling place of what it will be like when that happens. There is nothing you cannot be, do, or have. You are blessed beings, and you have come forth into this physical environment to create. There is nothing holding you back other than your own contradictory thoughts. And your emotion tells you whenever you have such thoughts. Life is supposed to be fun. It's supposed to feel good. You are powerful creators, and you are right on schedule. Savor more. Fix less. Laugh more. Cry less. Anticipate positively more. Anticipate negatively less. Nothing is more important than that you feel good. Just practice that and watch what happens. Process number 20. Turning it over to the manager. When to use this process? When you feel you have too much to do. When you want more time to do more things that you enjoy. When you want to become the powerful creator that you were born to be. Current emotional set point range. This turning it over to the manager process will be of the most value to you when your emotional set point is ranging somewhere between 10, frustration, irritation, impatience, and 17, anger. If you are not sure what your current emotional set point is, turn back to chapter 22 and scan the 22 categories on the emotional guidance scale. Imagine that you are the owner of a very large corporation and that there are thousands of people who work for you. There are people who assist in the manufacturing and marketing of your products, and there are bookkeepers, accountants, and advisors. There are artists, advertising experts, thousands of people all working to make your company successful. Now, imagine that you do not personally work with any of these people, but you have a manager who does, and your manager understands them, advises them, and directs them. So whenever you get an idea about something, you express it to your manager, who says, "I'll take care of that right away." And he does. Efficiently, effectively, precisely. Just the way you like it. You may be saying to yourself right now, "Oh, I'd love to have a manager like that. Someone I can count on. Someone who would work on my behalf." And we say to you, you do have a manager who is that and much more. You have a manager who works continually on your behalf called the Law of Attraction. And you have only to ask in order for this universal manager to jump to your request. But most of you do not see this manager in this way. You have this manager, but you continue to hold the responsibility in your own heart. In other words, you say, "Oh yeah, the Law of Attraction is out there, but I've got all the work to do." And we say, "Well then, what good is the Law of Attraction?" That would be like having a manager who you pay $500,000 a year to, who just asks you, "Is there anything you want from me?" And you reply, no, I'm happy just to pay you to have that title." Meanwhile, you are out there scrambling around, doing all the computer stuff and all the building stuff. You work yourself into oblivion and are exhausted all the time, while your manager is basking on the beach somewhere. You would not do that, would you? You would put your manager to work. You would delegate to him or her, making requests with an expectation of receiving. And that is the way you must treat the Law of Attraction. Make requests with the attitude of expecting results. And when you delegate in that way, you are doing the only two things that are required in deliberate creation. You are identifying your object of desire, and you are allowing the universe to yield it to you. So, setting goals is like delegating to the universal manager, and achieving the vibration of allowing is like standing back and trusting your manager to set things into place, trusting that when something is required of you, your manager will bring your attention to it. In other words, when another decision is needed from you, you will be aware of it. You are not delegating your life. You are creating your life. You are becoming the visionary in the creation mode rather than the actionary. But there will still be plenty of things that you will want to do. We in no way want to steer you away from action. Action is fun. There is not anything in all of the universe more delicious than to have a desire that you are a vibrational match to, and, in that alignment of your being connected to source energy, being inspired to an action. That is the furthest extension of the creation process. There is no action in all of the universe that is more delicious than inspired action. Process number 21, reclaiming one's natural state of health. When to use this process? When you do not feel well. When you have been given an unsettling diagnosis. When you are feeling pain. When you want to feel more vital. When you feel a vague fear associated with your body. Current emotional set point range. This reclaiming one's natural state of health process will be of the most value to you when your emotional set point is ranging somewhere between 10, frustration, irritation, impatience, and 22, fear, grief, depression, despair, powerlessness. If you are not sure what your current emotional set point is, turn back to chapter 22 and scan the 22 categories on the emotional guidance scale. Do this process while lying in a comfortable place. The more comfortable, the better. Choose a time when you have approximately 15 minutes when you are not likely to be disturbed by anyone. Now, write this short list in a place where it will be easy for you to read, and when you first lie down, read it slowly to yourself. It is natural for my body to be well. Even if I don't know what to do in order to get better, my body does. I have trillions of cells with individual consciousness, and they know how to achieve their individual balance. When this condition began, I didn't know what I know now. If I had known then what I know now, this condition couldn't have gotten started. I don't need to understand the cause of this illness. I don't need to explain how it is that I'm experiencing this illness. I have only to gently, eventually, release this illness. It doesn't matter that it got started, because it's reversing its course right now. It's natural that it would take some time for my body to begin to align to my improved thoughts of well-being. There is no hurry about any of this. My body knows what to do. Well-being is natural to me. My inner being is intricately aware of my physical body. My cells are asking for what they need in order to thrive, and source energy is answering those requests. I'm in very good hands. I will relax now to allow communication between my body and my source. My only work is to relax and breathe. I can do that. I can do that easily. Now, just lie there and enjoy the comfort of the mattress beneath you and focus upon your breathing, in and out. Your goal is to be as comfortable as possible. Breathe as deeply as you can while still remaining comfortable. Do not force it. Do not try to make anything happen. There is nothing for you to do other than to relax and breathe. You will very likely to begin to feel soft, gentle sensations in your body. Smile and acknowledge that this is source energy specifically answering your cellular request. You are now feeling the healing process. Do nothing to try to help it or intensify it. Just relax and breathe and allow it. If you were experiencing pain when you laid down, follow the same process. However, if you were feeling pain, it would be helpful for you to add these words to your written and spoken list. This sensation of pain is an indicator that Source is responding to my cellular request for energy. This sensation of pain is a wonderful indicator that help is on the way. I will relax into this sensation of pain because I understand that it's indicating improvement. Now, if you can, drift off to sleep. Smile in your knowledge that all is well. Breathe and relax and trust. Abraham, speak to us more about reclaiming one's natural state of health. The next time you feel any discomfort, stop in the middle of it and say to yourself, This discomfort that I'm feeling is nothing more than my awareness of resistance. It's time for me to relax and breathe, relax and breathe, relax and breathe. And you can, in seconds, bring yourself back into comfort. Every cell in your body has a direct relationship with creative life force, and each cell is independently responding. When you feel joy, all the circuits are open so the life force can be fully received. When you feel guilt, blame, fear, or anger, the circuits are hindered and life force cannot flow as effectively. Physical experience is about monitoring these circuits and keeping them as open as possible. Your cells know what to do. They are summoning the energy. There is no condition that you cannot modify into something more, any more than there is any painting that you cannot repaint. There are many limiting thoughts in the human environment that can make it seem that these so-called incurable illnesses or unchangeable conditions cannot be changed. But we say they are only unchangeable because you believe they are. Someone asked us recently, "Is there any limitation to the body's ability to heal?" And we said, "None, other than the belief that you hold." And he asked, "Then why aren't people growing new limbs?" And we said, "Because no one believes they can." But what about an unhealthy little baby? The question that often arises is, well, what about the little ones? What about the unhealthy babies? And we say that they have been exposed to a vibration, even in the womb, that caused them to disallow the well-being that would have been there otherwise. But once they are born, no matter what their disability, if they could be encouraged to the thought that would allow the well-being, then even after the body is fully formed, it could be regenerated into something that is well. It is natural for you to be absolutely well. It is natural for you to be abundant. It is natural for you to feel good. It is natural for you to feel clarity. It is not natural to feel confusion or not to have enough or to feel lack or blame. These are not natural to the you that is really you. But they seem to be sort of natural to the human patterns that most of you have picked up along your physical trail. Anytime you have physical discomfort of any kind, whether you call it emotional or physical pain within your body, it always, always means the same thing. I have a desire that is summoning energy, but I have a belief that is not allowing, so I've created resistance in my body. The solution, every single time, to the releasing of discomfort or pain is the relaxation and reaching for the feeling of relief. We are asked, if there is no source of illness, then why are there so many sick people? It is because they have found lots of excuses to hold themselves in vibrational discord with wellness. They are not letting it in. And when they do not let well-being in, the absence of it looks like sickness. And when enough of them do it, you say, oh, there must be a source of sickness. In fact, let us give it a label. Let's call it cancer. Let's call it all kinds of terrible things. And let's imply that it jumps into people's experience. And we say that it never jumps into anybody's experience. It is just that people learn, through trial and error and through banging around with each other, patterns of thought that do not let well-being in. As you do not allow the well-being in, it shows up in shadows of your life that are illnesses in your body and deprivation of things that you want. Then, over time, you come to believe that this is a reality that has a source somewhere, and then you develop whole bodies of information to protect yourself from the evil source that never existed to begin with. If you have received a frightening diagnosis, if you get a diagnosis that is not what you want to hear, the tendency is to say, oh my God, how did I get so far away from something I want so much? And we say that it is not a big thing at all. It is just a series of little things. It is the, I could choose this thought that feels good, or this thought that does not feel so good, but I've developed a pattern for what does not feel good. So it's the daily dose of not being in the receiving mode that keeps me out of the receiving mode. And that is all it is. So, do not let any place that you are standing frighten you. All it is a byproduct of some energy alignment that only gives you stronger clarity about what you want, and, most important, greater sensitivity about whether you are in a receiving mode or locked off from it. Wellness that is being allowed or the wellness that is being denied is all about the mindset, the mood, the attitude, or the practice thought. There is not one exception in any human or beast because you can patch them up again and again, and they will just find another way of reverting back to the natural rhythm of their mind. Treating the body really is about treating the mind. It is all psychosomatic, every bit of it, no exceptions. There is nothing that cannot be reoriented to well-being, but it does take the determination that you are going to put your thoughts upon something that feels good. So here we are going to make a very bold statement. Any disease could be healed in a matter of days, any disease, if distraction from it could occur and a different vibration dominate, and the healing time is about how much mix-up there is in all of that, for any malady in your physical body was a lot longer in coming than it takes to release it. Illness as an extension of negative emotion. Physical pain is just an extension of emotion. It is all the same thing. There are two emotions. One feels good, one feels bad. This means that you are connected to your energy stream or that you are not allowing your energy stream. Illness or pain is just an extension of negative emotion, and when you are no longer feeling any resistance to it, it's a non-issue. Do you have to think specific positive thoughts about your body in order for it to be the way you want it to be? No. But you have to not think the specific negative thoughts. If you could never again think about your body and instead just think pleasant thoughts, your body would reclaim its natural place of wellness. You can live comfortably, joyfully, resiliently, and healthfully as long as you have desire that summons life through you. People do not die because they pass through time. They die because they do not allow this arena to stimulate decisions. The only reason people ever die is either because they have stopped making decisions about being here or they have made decisions about being non-physical. You could remain in these bodies indefinitely. Are we saying that you could reach what you consider to be a prime human physical condition and that you could remain in it for as long as you remain physically focused on this body? The answer is absolutely yes. And it does not mean reaching your prime and then jumping off a cliff the same day either. It means reaching your prime and basking in the deliciousness of that. Now, why is anything other than that the more consistent experience? Because almost everybody is looking around and vibrating in response to what they're seeing. So what is the solution? Look around less. Imagine more. Look around less. Imagine more. Until your imagery is the most familiar vibration that you have. You could remain in these bodies indefinitely if you would allow your environment to continue to produce new, continuing, life-summoning, pure, unresisted desire. You could be one who opened your vortex to continually find new things to want, and those desires would continue to summon the life force through you. In other words, you are living raucously. You are living joyously. You are living rambunctiously. And you are living passionately. And then, from that same framework, you make a conscious decision to make your transition. Every death is self-imposed. The best reason to make your transition into the non-physical is not because the physical is miserable. It is because you have a sense of completion in physical, and you are looking for another vantage point. Death is a withdrawal of consciousness. It is like taking attention from here and putting it there. Every death is brought about by the culmination of the vibration of being. There is not an exception to that. No one, beast or human, makes their transition into the non-physical without it being the vibrational consensus that is within them. So every death is a suicide because every death is self-imposed. You are an eternal being always projecting from the non-physical, and sometimes that projection is into a physical personality. When the physical personality is complete for this time, then there is a withdrawal of focus. It's sort of like here you sit, and sometimes you go to a movie, and sometimes you come back out of the movie, but you are always the you that went into the movie, whether you are in the movie or not. Here is a rule of thumb that will help you. If you believe that something is good and you do it, it benefits you. If you believe that something is bad and you do it, it is a very detrimental experience. There is nothing that you can do that is worse for yourself than to do something that you believe is inappropriate. So get clear and happy about whichever choice you make, because it is your contradiction that causes the majority of the contradiction in vibration. Make a decision about what you want. Focus your attention there and find the feeling place of it, and you are there instantly. There is no reason for you to suffer or struggle your way to or through anything. Process number 22, moving up the emotional scale. When to use this process? When you feel bad and are having a difficult time feeling better. When something has happened to you or someone close to you that has knocked you back on your heels, that is, someone died, your lover left you, your dog got run over, and so on. When it has been necessary for you to deal with a crisis. When you have been diagnosed with a frightening illness. When someone you love has been diagnosed with a frightening illness. When your child or someone very close to you is experiencing a trauma or crisis. Current emotional set point range. This moving up the emotional scale process will be of the most value to you when your emotional set point is ranging somewhere between 17, anger, and 22, fear, grief, depression, despair, powerlessness. If you're not sure what your current emotional set point is, turn back to chapter 22 and scan the 22 categories on the emotional guidance scale. So, the contrast of your life experience has helped you identify your preferences and desires. And whether you speak them out loud or not, Source has heard each of your preferences and desires, no matter how large or small they may seem. And whether you speak them out loud or not, Source has heard each of your preferences and desires, no matter how large or small they may seem, and has answered them. And the manager, called the Law of Attraction, has lined up circumstances, events, other people, and all manner of things to assist in the fulfillment of your desires. In other words, you have asked, and it is given. But now, you must let it in. Remember, there is no non-physical source of darkness, sickness, confusion, or evil. There is only the stream of well-being, and it is flowing toward you at all times. And unless you are offering resistance of some kind, you are the full receiver of it, and your emotions help you understand to what extent you are allowing or resisting the stream. In other words, the better you feel, the less you are resisting. The worse you feel, the more you are resisting. The process of moving up the emotional scale will assist you no matter where you stand, no matter what you are creating, and no matter how you feel, to lower your state of resistance and therefore improve your state of allowing, and every feeling of relief will be an indication of your release of resistance. We want to help you understand that deliberate creation is really about deliberately achieving an emotional state. For example, when you do not have enough money, you want more. But we want you to understand that the distance you will be traveling is not the distance between not enough money to enough money, but instead is the distance between a feeling of insecurity to a feeling of security. Once you practice the thought that makes you consistently feel more secure, the money must follow. When you are sick, you want to be well. But the distance you are traveling is not from sickness to wellness, but from fear to confidence. Once you practice the thoughts that make you feel more confident, the physical improvement must follow. When you have no mate and want to find one, the distance you are really traveling is from the feeling of being lonely to the feeling of excitement or satisfaction. Once you practice the thoughts that make you feel excitement or anticipation, the perfect mate must follow. You may say, "I want a new car." But what the universe is hearing is, "I am not happy with my current car. I feel embarrassed with my current car. I feel disappointed that I don't have a better car. I feel jealous that my neighbor has a much better car. I feel angry that I cannot afford a better car." You may say, "I want to be well." But what the universe is hearing is, "I'm worried about my body. I'm disappointed with myself. I'm worried about my health. I'm afraid I will have a bad experience like my mother had. I'm angry that I didn't take better care of myself. You may say, I want to find another job. But what the universe is hearing is, I'm angry because my employer doesn't see my value. I feel bored. I feel unhappy with my current salary. I'm frustrated that I can't make them understand. I'm overwhelmed with too much to do. There is nothing that you or anyone else has ever wanted that exists for any other reason than you think you will feel better in the achieving of it. Once you consciously identify your current state of emotion, it becomes easier for you to understand whether you are choosing the thoughts that move you closer to your desired destination or further from your desired destination. If you will make the improved feeling or emotion be your real destination, then anything and everything that you want will quickly follow. The following is the basic list of emotions, also found in Chapter 22, beginning with those that hold the least resistance, all the way down to those that hold the greatest resistance. Whenever emotions have very similar vibrations, we have indicated them on the same line. These emotions range from the extremes of strongly allowing your source energy to strongly disallowing of your source energy, and they are indicated by the words of empowerment or joy on the one end of the scale, all the way down to depression or powerlessness on the other end. The words or titles that have been given to these emotions are not absolutely accurate because different people feel different about emotions even when they are using similar words. However, the universe is not responding to your words. It is responding to your vibrational offering that is accurately and always accompanied by your emotions. So, finding the perfect word to describe the way you feel is not essential to this process, but feeling the emotion is important, and finding ways to improve the feeling is even more important. In other words, this game is strictly about discovering thoughts that give you feelings of relief. A scale of your emotions would look something like this. 1. Joy, knowledge, empowerment, freedom, love, appreciation. 2. Passion. 3. Enthusiasm, eagerness, happiness. 4. Positive expectation, belief. 5. Optimism. 6. Hopefulness. 7. Contentment. 8. Boredom. 9. Pessimism. 10. Frustration, irritation, impatience. 11. Overwhelmment. 12. Disappointment. 13. Doubt. 14. Worry. 15. Blame. 16. Discouragement. 17. Anger. 18. Revenge. 19. Hatred, rage. 20. Jealousy. 21. Insecurity, guilt, unworthiness. 22. Fear, grief, depression, despair, powerlessness. Here is the way we would apply this powerful process. When you are aware that you are feeling some rather strong negative emotion, try to identify what the emotion is. Consciously think about whatever is bothering you until you can pinpoint the emotions that you are feeling. Considering the two extreme ends of this emotional scale, you could ask yourself, do I feel powerful or do I feel powerless? While you may not be actually feeling either one of these emotions precisely, you will be able to tell which way your emotional state of being is leaning right now. So, in this example, if your answer is powerlessness, then shorten the range that you are considering and ask yourself, does it feel more like powerlessness or frustration? Still more like powerlessness. Then shorten the range still further. Does this feel more like powerlessness or worry? As you continue, and there is no right or wrong way to approach this, eventually you will be able to state with accuracy what you are really feeling about the situation you are addressing. Once you have found your place on the emotional scale, your work is to try to find thoughts that give you a slight feeling of relief from the emotion you are feeling. A process of talking out loud or writing down your thoughts will give you the best reading of the way you are feeling. As you make statements with the deliberate intention of inducing an emotion that gives you a slight feeling of relief, you will begin to release resistance, and you will be able to move up the vibrational scale to a place of feeling much better. Remember, an improved feeling means a releasing of resistance, and a releasing of resistance means a greater state of allowing that you really want. So, using the emotional scale and beginning with where you are, look at the emotion that is just about where you believe you are and try to fashion some words that lead you more into a slightly less resistant emotional state of being. For example, a woman found herself in a state of tremendous resistance and pain because of the death of her father. Even though he had been seriously ill and his death was expected, when it happened, she found herself in the deepest depression. She felt powerless and grief-stricken in response to her focus upon the uncontrollable death of her father. During the days before her father's death, this woman had barely left his side, but he slipped into unconsciousness during one of the rare times when she was not with him, and he did not awaken again before he died. As she thought about not being there to have just one last conversation, tremendous thoughts of guilt washed through her, and while she did not consciously recognize the slight improvement in the way the guilt felt, it was a very important vibrational transition for her. And then her thoughts turned to a powerful anger. She focused upon the woman who had been with her father when he had slipped into unconsciousness, and she felt rage that this woman had given her father such a strong dose of medication for the purpose of making him feel more comfortable. And then she blamed the woman for having deprived her of her last conversation with her father. She did not realize it at the time, but the feelings of guilt, rage, anger, and blame were each definite improvements over her grief-stricken vibrational state of resistance. She did feel better in her blame, much better, in fact. At least she could breathe, and she was now able to sleep. Of course, it is always better when you achieve the improved state of emotion deliberately. But even in this case, when the improved emotions were discovered naturally and unconsciously, each improvement now gives you access to something even more improved. Once you find the relief that anger and blame can offer from those suffocating emotions of powerlessness and grief, you can move even more quickly up the vibrational scale. And while it may even take a day or two to move up even one vibrational level, from 22, grief, to 21, guilt, to 18, revenge, to 17, anger, to 15, blame, you can reclaim your connection to your source and your feeling of empowerment in a much shorter time than almost anyone realizes. Here is an example of conscious statements that this woman could have offered to improve the way she felt. I did everything I could think of doing to help my father, but it wasn't enough. Grief. I miss him so much, I can't stand him being gone. Grief. How will I be able to soothe my mother? Despair. Every morning when I awaken, the first awareness that I have is that Daddy is gone. Grief. I shouldn't have gone home to shower. Guilt. I should have stayed right there so I could have told him goodbye. Guilt. I should have realized how close he was to going. Guilt. I was there day and night, and I still didn't get to say goodbye. Rage. The woman who was with him knew very well what was happening. Rage. How would she like it if the shoe was on the other foot and I put her father in a coma? Revenge. She has seen many people die, and she should have warned me that this was close. Anger. I think she knew and didn't want me to be there. Anger. She gave him more medication than he needed just to make it easier for her. Blame. I wish I could have said goodbye. Disappointment. There are too many details to attend to, and I don't really feel like doing anything. Overwhelmment. I have been neglecting so many things in my life. I need to regroup and get organized. Overwhelmment. The healthcare professionals are insensitive to the families of sick and dying people. Frustration. They're more concerned about picking up the oxygen tanks than about how I feel. Irritation. It will be good to spend more time with my own family. Hopefulness. I will feel good to get back to the swing of things at work. Positive expectation. I know that in time I'll get to feeling better. Positive expectation. I don't know if I'll ever feel the way I felt before, but I know I will feel better in time. Positive expectation. There are so many things to do, and so many things that I want to do. Positive expectation. I'm so looking forward to smiling and meaning it, and laughing and really feeling it. Positive expectation. I appreciate my husband so much. He's been helpful in so many ways. Appreciation. I do appreciate all those people who have cared for my father and mother. Appreciation. I appreciate my sisters. We all love our parents, and we love each other. Appreciation, love. All things considered, we have lived and are living really wonderful lives. Appreciation, love. Death is a part of life. Knowledge. Since we are really eternal beings, there really is no such thing as death. Knowledge. Daddy is not gone because there is no such thing as death. Knowledge. He's in a place where sadness doesn't exist. Knowledge. That is truly a wonderful place to be. Joy. I love knowing that he's in a place of utter joy and understanding. Joy. I so adore this glorious earth experience. Joy. I love knowing how all this fits together. Joy. I loved having this wonderful man as my father. Joy. This has all been good. Joy. This is all good. Joy. Remember, you do not have access to emotions that are far from where you are currently vibrating. Although you may spend an entire day beating the drum of emotion where you are, on the next day, try to establish a different set point, even if it is only a slight improvement. If the negative emotion you are feeling is slight, then you will quickly move up the emotional scale. If the negative emotion you are feeling has begun only recently, you will quickly move up the emotional scale. If you are experiencing something extremely serious, or it is something that you have been living with for many years, it is conceivable that you could spend 22 days moving up this emotional scale, each day deliberately choosing the improved emotion just above the one you are currently feeling. But 22 days from powerlessness to empowerment is not a long time at all when you compare it to people you know who have been in the state of grief, insecurity, or powerlessness for many years. Now that you understand that your goal is to reach a better feeling emotion, it is our expectation that this process will free you from troubling negative emotions that you have been experiencing for years. And as you gently and gradually release the resistance you have unknowingly gathered, you will begin to experience improvement in your life experiences in all troubling areas of your life. One last thing. Be easy about all of this. You tend to take life so seriously. Life is supposed to be fun, you know. As we watch you in the creation of your life, we feel only love for you and appreciation for all that you are. You are leading-edge creators, sifting through the wonderful contrast of this leading-edge environment and coming to new conclusions that summon the life force forward. There are not adequate words to explain the value of that which you are. It is our powerful desire that you return to your state of self-appreciation. We want you to feel love for your life, for the people of your world, and most of all, for yourself. There is great love here for you, and, for now, we are complete. Glossary. All is well. The basis of all that is well-being. There is no source of anything that is other than well-being. If you believe that you are experiencing something other than well-being, it is only because you have somehow chosen a perspective that is temporarily holding you out of reach of the natural well-being that flows. Allowing, the state of alignment with the well-being that flows from source, the focusing of your attention upon things that cause you to offer a vibration that allows your connection to your natural source of well-being. Tolerating is very different from allowing. Tolerating is seeing what is not wanted, feeling the vibrational evidence of that perspective but deliberately taking no action. Allowing is deliberately giving your attention only to that which causes a vibration of alignment with source. When you are in the state of allowing, you always feel good. All that is, the source from which all things flow, and all things flow from that source. Art of allowing. The practice process of deliberately choosing your subjects of attention with a keen awareness of how that perspective feels to you. By deliberately choosing thoughts that feel good, you achieve vibrational alignment with your source of well-being. Being, noun. Source energy that is focused into a definite perspective. Non-physical being is consciousness perceiving from non-physical perspective. Physical being, or human being, is non-physical energy perceiving through the physical perspective. Collective consciousness. All thoughts that have ever been thought still exist. All who perceive have access to all that is and has been perceived. This body of thought exists as collective consciousness. Connection. Being in vibrational alignment with your source. Consciousness. Awareness. Creative energy. The electrical current at the basis of everything that exists. Creative life force. The electrical current at the basis of everything that exists. Creator. One who focuses creative energy. Deliberate creation. Focusing on what is intended while being consciously aware of one's vibrational state of being and connection to one source. Desire. The natural result of living in a contrasting environment, which includes all environments. Emotion. The body's physical, visceral response to the vibrational state of being caused by whatever you are giving your attention to. Emotional guidance. Awareness of your state of attraction because of the way you feel as you give your attention to different things. Emotional set point. The emotion most often practiced. Energy, non-physical. The electrical current at the basis of everything that exists. Energy stream. The flow of the electrical current at the basis of everything that exists. Essence. Having matching vibrational properties. Guidance system. The comparative feeling of your energetic state of being when you are aligned with your source or when you are not aligned with your source. Inner being. The eternal part of you that perceives all that you have ever been and all that you currently are. A perspective always available to you if you will allow it. Law of attraction. The basis of your world, your universe, and all that is. Things of like vibration are drawn to each other. Law of deliberate creation. The deliberate focusing of thought with the intention of feeling alignment with one's own desire. Laws. Eternally consistent responses. Leading edge of thought. A state of relaxed and deliberate consideration of ideas with the intention of new discovery. Life force. Eternal consciousness specifically focused. Mass consciousness. The combined awareness of a large body of perceivers, usually referring to the physical Earth's human awareness. Meditation. The state of quieting one's mind and therefore stopping any resistant thoughts that would disallow vibrational alignment with one's source. Non-physical. Eternal consciousness, which is at the basis of all that is physical and all that is non-physical. Overwhelmment. The state of simultaneously focusing upon what you want and your inability to achieve it at the same time. Receiving mode. A vibrational state of being, absent of resistance, and therefore in absolute alignment with Source. Self. Any point of awareness. The point from which all perception flows. Source, noun. The eternally expanding vibrational stream of well-being from which all that is flows. Source energy. The eternally expanding vibrational stream of well-being from which all that is flows. Stream of consciousness. The eternally expanding vibrational stream from which all things flow. Stream of well-being. The eternally expanding vibrational stream from which all things flow. Total you. You, in your human form, in a state of feeling good, and therefore offering no resistance that causes separation from who you really are. Universe. A somewhat quantifiable spatial experience. Vibration. The response of harmony or discord of all things to all things. Vibrational alignment. Harmony of perspective. Vibrational frequency. A state of vibration. Vibrational harmony. Harmony of perspective. Vibrational match. Harmony of perspective. Wanting. Natural desire born from any comparative experience. Well-being. The universal natural state of feeling good. You. An eternal consciousness who perceives from your broader non-physical perspective, your physical perspective, and even your cellular perspective. About the authors. Excited about the clarity and practicality of the translated word from beings who call themselves Abraham, Jerry and Esther Hicks began disclosing their amazing Abraham experience to a handful of close business associates in 1986. Recognizing the practical results being received by themselves and by those persons who were asking meaningful questions regarding finances, bodily conditions, and relationships, and then successfully applying Abraham's answers to their own situations, Jerry and Esther made a deliberate decision to allow Abraham's teachings to become available to an ever-widening circle of seekers of answers to how to live a better life. Using their San Antonio, Texas Conference Center as their base, Jerry and Esther have traveled to approximately 50 cities a year since 1989, presenting interactive Art of Allowing workshops to those leaders who gather to participate in this progressive stream of thought. And, although worldwide attention has been given to this philosophy of well-being by leading-edge thinkers and teachers who have, in turn, incorporated many of Abraham's concepts into their best-selling books, scripts, lectures, and so forth, the primary spread of this material has been from person to person, as individuals begin to discover the value of this form of spiritual practicality in their personal life experiences. Abraham, a group of obviously evolved non-physical teachers, speak their broader perspective through Esther Hicks, and as they speak to our level of comprehension through a series of loving, allowing, brilliant, yet comprehensively simple essays in print and in sound, they guide us to a clear connection with our loving inner being and to uplifting self-empowerment from our total self. This has been Ask and It Is Given, Learning to Manifest Your Desires, written by Esther Hicks and Jerry Hicks, narrated by Carl H. Martins. Copyright 2004 by Esther Hicks. Production copyright by Esther Hicks.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.